So this is what's known in the church as Good Shepherd Sunday. And regardless of the different liturgical cycle, you know, there's A, B, and C, we always, on this Sunday after Easter, the fourth Sunday of Easter, we read from John chapter 10, which is all about Jesus, the Good Shepherd. So every year, we will focus on this understanding of Jesus as Good Shepherd. Now, I happen to think, and maybe others would agree, it's the most accurate metaphor we have of the kind of relationship we should have with God. You know, we've heard many times, and it's true, that Christianity is all about a relationship. We're not just following a moral code or coming to church and following the rules of the church. Those are things we should do, but Christianity at its heart, at its foundation, is a relationship of deep love with God, with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit. And so this metaphor of sheep and shepherd most accurately describes the kind of relationship we should have. So it's a really important metaphor for us to kind of understand. Really the most accurate, I think, in the Bible. You know, there are other metaphors. There's the husband-wife metaphor, like sometimes the people of Israel, God's people, are called the spouse. There are times when it's the parent-child relationship, but the sheep-shepherd relationship goes way back into the Old Testament, is the most often used, and really is the most accurate in many ways. But the problem is, most of us aren't familiar with the sheep-shepherd relationship, and when Jesus was using this metaphor, everybody would have known what he was talking about. Now, we have plenty of sheep in this area. Fort Collins used to be like a mecca of sheep. Now it's Weld County. But if you drive, you know, east on Highway 14 or on Harmony Road, you'll see plenty of sheep. But most often, it's more like a feedlot. It's not the shepherd leading his sheep. And it wasn't until I went over to Europe. I was in Spain a couple of years ago, and I've seen this a couple of other places in the world. And maybe some of you have seen this as well, like a real shepherd leading a flock of sheep. It's truly an amazing thing to observe. And a couple of years ago, as I mentioned, I was in Spain, entering a town, kind of a roaring river that I had to cross to get into this village. And it was a narrow footbridge, maybe 24 inches, 2 feet wide. I was kind of scared to go over it, but it was either that or walk back, you know, some distance and go over a bridge that was over for cars. So I kind of walked across this bridge very quickly, right down the middle, made it to the other side. And then I saw a shepherd come with a very large flock of sheep. And I thought to myself, there's no way. This is not going to happen, you know. But sure enough, the shepherd walks across this footbridge. He calls to his sheep, and they come across. Actually, they were coming, if I remember right, they were like two by two. I'm thinking, how in the world are they doing this? They got to the other side, and of course, the shepherd is leading his flock to bring them to water, to food, to pasture, to a place of rest. And that's what the people in the days of Jesus would have understood. They would have seen this all the time. And so when Jesus uses this metaphor, people kind of get and they understand this relationship. And it really is like an agreement between sheep and shepherd, even though, of course, you know, the sheep aren't sitting down and signing an agreement with their shepherd. But it looks like this. The shepherd promises to lead his sheep, to feed them, to give them water, to give them rest, to protect them from predators. And on the other side, the sheep have one job only, and that is just to follow and listen to the voice of the shepherd. That's how it looks. It's like this agreement. And in fact, I did a little reading because I'm fascinated by this, this relationship between sheep and shepherd. Sheep are one of the few domestic animals that are very likely to not survive on their own. You know, you could take a dog, you could take a horse, you could take other animals, they might make it. They would probably survive pretty well on their own. Sheep, not so much. And the reason is, again, I read this in several places, they're just not very smart. They're kind of dumb animals. And they'll wander and serve. They like to follow. They have that sort of wired in their DNA. They like to follow, so they'll follow each other, sometimes walking in circles. Sometimes one will wander off a cliff and they'll follow him. There have been reports of hundreds of sheep dying in a tragedy like that. Now let's stop for a minute here. Think about this metaphor. We are the sheep, God is the shepherd, Jesus is the good shepherd, right? How accurate is that metaphor for us today? We wander aimlessly, sometimes in circles, getting nowhere without a shepherd, without Jesus Christ leading and guiding us. We sometimes even risk death when we don't have a shepherd. So just like sheep need a shepherd, we need a shepherd. And Jesus has promised to be our good shepherd, who says he will lay down his life to protect us, to give us life. It is really an amazing metaphor to meditate upon. So I want to focus just for a minute on our part of this relationship, right? Jesus says he's the good shepherd. He will do everything for us. Our part of the deal, so to speak, is to just listen to the voice of the Lord, to listen to the shepherd, to be obedient to him and follow him. And that one word, obedience, you know, when the scriptures talk about listen to the voice of the Lord, they're really saying something more than just hearing. They're saying, obey the voice of the Lord. Now, obedience is one of those things that's pretty easy to understand and sometimes very difficult to live, right? Sometimes obedience is actually easy to live. Imagine if it's something that we agree with, we understand, and it's not too difficult, we'll do what someone else asks us to do. Because obedience in the end is just doing what someone asks us to do. And so imagine a father telling his teenage son, here's $20, go to the store, buy a box of donuts, bring it back, and we'll just sit here and eat them together. We're going to get obedience there, right? Imagine the same father and the same son. He says, son, it's 95 degrees out, by the way, and the grass is 5 inches long. Go outside and cut the grass for me. Oh, here comes the difficulty with obedience, right? He understands what's being asked of him, but it's difficult, and he doesn't agree with it. He wants to do something else. So obedience can be easy sometimes, but it can be difficult at times. But here's the thing. Throughout the scriptures, throughout the entire Bible, God loves and rewards obedience, and God really hates and punishes disobedience. God loves it when we're obedient to him, especially when the task is difficult, especially when we don't understand fully what we're being asked to do, and especially if we understand what we're being asked to do, but we don't agree with it. That's where obedience is really challenged. You know, obedience is one of the most undervalued, under-talked about things in the Christian life. And I think it's sometimes because we may think, you know, well, Christianity is all about loving Jesus and being in the church and having our sins forgiven. Yes, those are all true. That's what Christianity is about. But it's also about obeying the voice of the Lord. You know, the people of Israel, if you remember the story, they were freed from Egypt by a miracle. They were delivered from slavery. But once they got in the desert, they were expected to obey the commandments of the Lord. And when they did, God rewarded them and took care of them, like a shepherd takes care of his sheep. Well, the same is true for us. We have been redeemed. We've been bought with a price. We've been delivered from evil. We've been brought into the life of Christ in the church. By the great mercy of God, there's nothing we could ever have done to earn that. And yet, but at this point, what God asks of us is obedience. So the big question, the million-dollar question is, how do we know what to be obedient to? How do we know the voice of the shepherd? Now, this is worthy of a whole nother homily. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail, but I just want to say two broad categories. The first is we obey the word of God. And the word of God to us Catholics is not just the Bible. It's the Bible as it has been interpreted by the Holy Catholic Church and as it's been taught through the magisterium. So we don't just pick up our Bible and say, well, I think the Bible says this and I need to be obedient to this command. We have to go beyond that and understand how the church interprets it for us. We're called to obedience to the word of God. The words that are used in the catechism are, we need to submit our mind and our will to the authority of Scripture. Again, when things are difficult, when we don't understand them fully, And even if we understand what the church is teaching, but we don't necessarily agree with it, maybe we've come to our own conclusion, but we're called to obedience. We're called to follow the voice of the shepherd. The other thing, and this is, again, worthy of a whole series of discussions on, we should obey those God has placed in legitimate authority over us. So we have the Pope. We have a new Pope. Isn't that exciting? Leo XIV. It's awesome. As Catholics, we have an authority structure. We're called to obey the Pope. We're called to obey our bishop. We're called to obey our pastor. We're called to obey all members of the clergy, all priests. The only stipulation on that is if we're asked to do something that violates God's commandments, then of course we don't obey. But every other time, we're called to obey. So obedience means obeying the word of God as what Christ has revealed through his church, through the scriptures, and we obey those that God has placed in authority over us. So going back to this metaphor, you know, again, we're not familiar with the sheep and shepherd relationship. It may even sound a little bit strange to us. Like, do we really want to be sheep? Do we see ourselves as sheep? You know, and we should never think that God wants a bunch of dumb animals just following him. It's not just about obeying God. It's not like God just wants a bunch of people following and doing whatever he says. God gave us a rational mind. He gave us a will. But he wants us to conform our minds and our wills to his will. Because God created the universe. He created every one of us. He knows that we will be most happy when we conform our lives to his will. And so it's not just a matter of blind obedience. We use our intellect and we use our will and we choose, I'm going to follow Jesus the Good Shepherd. Because why? Why do sheep follow a shepherd? They know if they follow the shepherd, everything will be provided for them. And so that's what it means for us in this metaphor. Jesus is our good shepherd. If we choose to follow him, to listen to his voice, to obey what he asks of us, he will give us everything. Food, water, rest, protection, all of those things in the spiritual realm. God will provide every single thing we need to flourish and to be the best people we can be if we just choose to follow Jesus as our good shepherd. So on this Good Shepherd Sunday, I encourage all of you to just meditate on this. Even do a little reading if you want on the whole shepherd sheep thing. It's very fascinating. But we're called to submit ourselves to Christ, to follow him as the good shepherd. Let him lead us across things like that bridge. Read Psalm 23, all of the blessings that go with the Lord being my shepherd, and I want nothing. I don't need anything when Jesus is my shepherd. Amen.